today is. So it is confirmed. But I just wanted to go before we start that every month, rather than have weekly bulletins, we're just going to have monthly announcements. So you can take this. This is October announcements, and I'll put as many announcements of what the calendar is showing. But please make sure that we don't want to hear, well, I didn't know that. Because we want to keep everybody informed. Yes. It is very important that you keep informed. So please. Also, another thing, as you saw, we want to have a children's play for Christmas. The reason why is not for us to have a play, honestly, because that's hard work. A lot of hard work. But the reason for it is because we know that the children love to be and part things like that. They want to have a solo, or they want to have a part in the play, or they want to have, and we would like to provide that environment for the kids. So we're asking that the kids come in here, and it is necessary to have, we need about 12 to 15 children to be able to do that play. If we don't have enough, then we're just going to go to plan B. We're going to have something, but it's not as elaborate. So I'm asking that every parent consider to just bringing your children. It is very important. We also need helpers for that day and things like that. So if you could ask Debbie or Carol, you know, what is it that you would like for me to do? Please get involved and ask them. And you know, we're going to have the kids here and all that. So that's a side note that I wanted to bring to you.
So we want a commitment from you guys that if you have kids, make sure they come here.
That just bring them. Amen. And enjoy. And they're going to be, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be something fun. But JR and I have been praying and have been talking because we did take the vacation. Thank you so much for allowing us that time. And thank you again. There's not enough thank yous to say to our leadership and our pastoral staff and our council that without you, we wouldn't have been able to do that. And everything that you did, and I'm just so very thankful. I know that, you know, normally they say thank you to the senior pastors in October and all that because of clergy month. But you know what? We recognize that there is no way that we could do this on our own.
Amen.
And so we want to honor you and recognize you as well.
And it was a little bit chaos, but remember from the bottom of our heart, even now, Grace is talking about this and I'm walking because it's blowing hot air. Please pray that the air condition did not break. But it's blowing hot air over here. So so again, when something is like a snowball. But yes, guys, without you members of the church cannot exist. And God is trying to do things in our life. God is trying to do things in this church. And I know the enemy always is going to try to take that away from us. So let's concentrate. Let's be together. And again, like Gracie said, thank you from the bottom of our heart. We haven't been the perfect pastors, but we try. We really try. So continue to bear with us.
Amen. I wanted to say that for this, since Thursday, we've had our grandchildren, the two little ones that you've seen. Amazing time. But I want to, you know, publicly acknowledge something. I worked Thursday all day, and I worked Friday all day in my job. But my husband took the time because we wanted to give that gift to our children to be able to get away for a few days. And he took the time to be with the kids, to be that presence in their lives. And it's not that he took the time, because this is our responsibility. Understand this. But I also know that a lot of men back off when it comes to children and let mom do everything. And I am so thankful that I have a husband who also steps in and says, no, I'm part of this too. I want to help. And so thank you, you know, Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday we had him. We had a great day today together. Thank you very much. Thank you. We had a great day together. too many distractions. No, not you. I appreciate you doing that. Thank you, Mari Carmen, not you. And it's wonderful to be able to get away and do that with the grandkids. And I was imparting in Jaden, I mean, all the days, you're a man of God. And he'd look at me and go, man of God? And I'd say, yes. Amen. Do you know what that is? And he goes, yeah, that I love Jesus? And I go, yes, you're a man of God. He's falling asleep, and I'm telling him, you're a man of God. You know, and all this because we want to impart life. Because we know that they're growing up in a time that is not very healthy. It is a time that is not very good. These are not times that you could say, oh my gosh, go outside and play. I remember when I was growing up that my mom could say to my brother and I, go just out there and ride your bike. Those times are gone. You have to be out there with your children. In the bus stop, I'd walk to my bus stop being at 6 o'clock in the morning going to school. I'd walk and I would stand on the bus stop waiting for the bus to come by. Those times are over. We cannot do that. Yesterday when we went to SeaWorld to take the kids and they were all running, let me tell you, I was like a hawk behind those kids. You know, I would rather have a leash on them. Do you understand? Because we're not living in times. It's more.
More responsibility.
It's more responsibility. It's like these are my children's children. I better watch them. You know, absolutely. So it is a responsibility that God has given us. But I tell you what, even though that these are bad times, God still is on the throne.
Amen.
And God still can be glorified through our lives. So today we're going to be talking about three habits of a healthy heart.
And through seasons, through times, God have used all type of people to do the work of the Lord. Through the years of since the before Christ and after Christ, God has used people that you can't even think of to do the work of the Lord, because he takes all type of people to be able to work for the glory of God, to be able to do what God wants us to do. People who has humbled themselves, people who had an encounter with God. So it doesn't matter where you're coming from, doesn't matter what you have done in your past, is what the Lord is trying to use you now. He used people like David, an adulterer, you know, a murderer, a thief. I mean, he was the king, but he did all the, everything can be done wrong in the book. He did it. But David had what? A forgiven heart. He knew how to ask for God for forgiveness. He knew how to repent. He knew how to have a change of heart in his life. God used people like Moses in exile. I mean, look at what Moses did. He even killed. But you know what? Moses knew who God was. And even in the moment that the body of Christ was not going to be able to go in, he says, no, if you don't go with us, we're not going nowhere. I don't want to go. Because that's how much Moses loved God. And then we have people like Paul, who murdered the Christians. A guy with a hard, tough heart. A guy that has no compassion with a Christian. God, as he was going to Damascus, God touched him. He gets blind, and all of a sudden he got an encounter with God. So what we all need to be used by God is to have an encounter with God. All these men that I mentioned, all the people who has been used by God, in one point of their life they had an encounter with God. And for us to have a healthy heart, we have to have an encounter with God. It's important. It needs to happen.
See, there is no limit to who God could be used.
Amen.
No limit. No limit. Understand this. But the one kind of person that God consistently has not used is someone who's living a double life.
That's it.
Do you understand? You're one thing in public, but your private life is totally different. Public is different than private. See, I don't know what the current situation of your heart is. But if you want to prepare yourself to be used by God, that's where it needs to start, your heart. What the heart matter is. You see, the writer of Psalm 119 reveals three things we need to know when it comes to having a healthy heart. And that's where we're going to focus today. Psalm 119, verses 112 to 114. Very simple. Very simple. But let's go there.
And let me tell you something. Those who were not here on Wednesday, I'm sorry, Gracie, but there's a lot I feel to say about this. You need to be here on Wednesdays. I don't care if you need to call the vice president. Don't call the president. He's going to say no. No matter who you call to bring you here, you come and
listen, it's only four more Wednesdays.
That's it.
Four more Wednesdays.
Discovering
the enemy.
The enemy.
Exposing the enemy.
We need to expose the enemy. We need to know who the enemy is and what he's doing. For us to have this heart in a healthy place, we need to know who we're fighting against, the guys. And if you don't come on Wednesday night, you're going to miss something that is so powerful. I want to do last Wednesday again somehow for those who are not here. Because last Wednesday was so powerful. I'm telling you, I knew this, but my brain was spinning around. Because things that we know, but we don't remember. So look at what Psalm 119 talk about, the three things that we need to have a healthy heart.
It says this, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I hate double-minded people, yes, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I have put my hope in your word.
Amen.
Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed.
Amen.
See, the three habits of a healthy heart. Listen to this. Success often depends on the habits we develop. Success will depend on the healthy habits we develop. There was a doctor that was counseling his patient about a problem that he had.
It wasn't
about his weight.
It wasn't me.
Okay? It could have been me. Says, I don't know what the problem is, doctor. I just can't seem to get rid of this flab. Maybe I have an overactive thyroid. To which the doctor replied, listen, I've run tests and your thyroid is fine. If anything's overactive, it's your fork. I mean, this
Oops.
Is exactly. We want to. What happens is that we don't want to hear those things.
Come on.
Ouch.
It's
not always easy to get rid of unhealthy habits, is it? It's not always easy to develop new healthy habits. The truth is, your habits will make you or break you. Huh? So one of the keys to living a life to the fullest is to develop healthy habits, not only of your body, but of your mind and your spirit.
Come on.
The first habit
is know what to hate and know what to love.
That's right.
That's the first habit. We need to identify what we need to hate. And when I'm talking about, don't hate your enemy, your brother, your sister. No, I'm talking about things that happen in your life that you do, things you do daily that you need to learn how to hate. You want them out of your life, and then you need to recognize the thing you want to love, the thing you want to be more part of your life. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy to divide what we like and what we don't like. But let me tell you something, because most of the time, the things that we need to hate is the thing that we love the most.
See, we need to train ourselves to hate the things that hurt us.
Come on.
Huh?
We love them, but they hurt us.
That's
yes.
right. And that will be a powerful change in your life when you learn to hate that thing that hurts me. For example, if you wanted to develop healthier habits, learn to hate the effects of the unhealthy ones.
That's it.
Do you get that? As a, you know, learning what to love is crucial, but learning what to hate can be just as important.
Mm-hmm.
In our lives.
Psalms 119,
and we just read it.
Says, I hate double-minded people, but I love your law.
See, in other words, you know what double-minded means? What it really means? It's a wavering mind. It's an undecided mind. It's a hesitant mind. It's a doubtful mind. That's being double-minded. One day you think this way, the next day you think another way. You know, you're going up and down, waves. You never know where you stand and what you stand or what you're even thinking.
Exactly.
It's double mind.
Yeah, because when we know what to hate, when we identify the things that are hurting us, when we identify, we can then work with them. How many say amen to that? I mean, I've been trying to lose weight, and when I realize the things that are not good for my body, I have to learn to keep them away from my plate. And that's how we learn in the things of the Lord as well. Things that we do, habits that we do, thoughts that we'd like to carry on. We need to learn to identify them and stop them and hate them and move them out of our way. For us to be able, hallelujah, to train yourself is to love what is good for you. What is not good for you, you need to learn to say no more of that. One lie bring to another. Another lie have to bring another one. So things that are really not good for us, the only thing they do is destroy us. For that moment, you feel good, but then after that, you feel awful. You feel like down. You feel like, why did I just do that? You feel like, my gosh, I have failed. But you know what? When we do things that we like, it's a big, awesome feeling. You feel bigger. You feel stronger. You feel like you can conquer the world. But we need to, guys, as believers of Christ, we need to identify the good and the bad. It is that time of the day. It is that time of the life of a Christian life. Those who are worn will be thrown up. But those who are hard in the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, those will continue to be used by the power of God in the last day.
See, there are certain things in your life that will not change until you hate the outcome it produces.
Yes.
See, the behaviors that you have to hate are the things that give you short-term outcomes that you like.
Yes.
Let me repeat that. The behaviors that you have to hate are the things that give you short-term outcomes that we might like. For instance, alcohol.
Drugs.
Drinking too much. Drugs. Excessive behaviors.
Gossip.
Huh? That gossip that just keeps you like to be entertained in it. That adultery. That pornography. That bitterness. That anger. Those are behaviors that are in our lives that give us short-term, that we need to learn to hate. And we need to look at what those things actually produce in our lives. Are they producing anything that is good? When you finish, you know, gossiping, do you feel like, whoa, I've changed the world? Because I put somebody down, or I've agreed with somebody, or I just didn't say anything. Because that could be just as gossip.
If you want lasting change, you need to learn to hate the things that are not good for you. If you want to be able to move forward, you have to believe. If you believe that changes will not make you better, you're never going to change. But changes can transform you.
See, but what happens is we go life reclined.
Oh, yeah.
You know those reclining chairs? Ah, that's comfortable. You know, we put our feet up and we are reclined and we're watching TV, and it's instead of getting up, we'll say, hey, get me this, or hey, get me that. You know, because we're comfortable. So we go through life reclined. We go through life how we feel that day.
Amen.
If we feel good, woo, it's great. If we don't feel good, it's horrible. See, that's what happens. See, listen, you are in charge. You and me are in charge of our hearts.
Amen.
So is your heart set in divine direction? Or is it set just in any type of direction? Wherever the waves send me, that's where I'll go. Or are you going to that divine direction? Remember, the psalmist said, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end.
Amen.
So set your heart. Check it. Recheck it. Reset it. Check it again and repeat. This is an everyday thing. Check my heart. Reset it. Check it again and repeat.
Yes.
You must get up in the morning going, less of me, more of you.
Amen.
Check my heart, Lord. Reset it. Check it again, Lord, and repeat.
Amen.
You want a healthy life? Learn to know what to hate and learn to know what to love.
Yes.
And the number two habit of a healthy heart is
nowhere to hide. And this is so important because all of us need a hiding place.
That's right.
The thing is to find the right hiding place where we need to be.
That's right.
I love how the Psalms that says, you are my hiding place and my chill. I have put my hope in your word. The hiding place is the most important part. Is the place
that
you can retreat yourself from everything that surrounds you, everything that you're going through, and just be in his presence, completely listening to him, and he's listening to you. A hiding place is the place, hallelujah, where you can have your word prayer for the things that has hurt you, the things that are stopping you, the things that you can no longer stand, that you have learned to hate. In the higher place is where the transformation comes. In the higher place is when the Lord comes and embraces you and takes out things that need to be removed. It is in the higher place. It's in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that the true miracle happens in your life. We need to go to the higher place.
So where you choose to hide makes all the difference.
Yes.
This is about hiding in the right place.
Yes.
So where you choose. See, sometimes the place that we go to hide is more dangerous than what we're hiding from.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So where do you go when you're attacked? Where do you go when they bait you in?
Mm.
Where do you go?
Do you hide behind anger?
That's right.
Behind alcohol, behind whatever it is that takes you away from the presence.
See, some people don't even know that they're hiding because they're hiding behind an image to keep them from being hurt. And that image is more important than transparency and truth. Don't hide in what you hate.
Come on.
If you hate gossip, don't hide in that. If you hate lying, don't hide behind
Come
that.
On.
If you hate how it makes you feel being whatever it is, and drugs or alcohol, whatever that is, don't hide behind that.
It will create more damage to you. At the end of the day, what it does will destroy you more than what you already are. So that's why the first one is to identify what you need to hate and what you need to love.
That's right.
For you to be able then to find a place of hiding place that you can feel is a safe heavens. We need all to go there. We all need to find that. But it have to be step by step. Identify the hate, the love, and then the hiding place. Because we need to go into an environment that will build us, that will embrace us, that will heal us, that will make us better and help us move forward.
See, things like drugs or alcohol or even blame and bitterness, they just provide a temporary escape. We're talking about a true hiding place. See, keep your heart healthy. And to keep it healthy, you'll need a healthy hiding place. And God's word, God's worship, God's presence, or even the presence of people who build you up.
Come on.
Are good places to go.
Yes, I'm telling you, even around here, we have people that the Lord has brought to our church that they're there for you to lift you up, to give you a good advice, to tell you, you can do it, you can go the extra mile. We have one another. It's not just God. God brought us together as a family for him to use us to build the kingdom of heaven. So it is through God that we can be a hiding place for somebody else.
See, I believe that each one of us has a calling in our lives.
Yes.
Each one of us has a special calling in our lives. We're not exempt from that.
No.
God created you. Then when you accepted him, you became his child. And he said, a call is on you since you were in the womb, in your mother's womb. So are we running to our calling in the conflict? Or are we running from it? See, when things happen and there is conflict, the call is still there. God has called you. He doesn't change his mind. He's not a double-minded God.
No, each one of us has a purpose. And that purpose will not change into the day you die. What excuses are you going to have for God? Well, Lord, it was a hangover. No. You're responsible for your purpose. You're responsible for your call.
That's right.
You're responsible. And because we have failed or because we will fall, doesn't mean that the call, or the, like Gracie said, or the purpose that God has for our life will take away. It's still there. It is our job, again, to hate what we hate, love what we need to love, be in the right hiding place and move forward with the call.
That's right. Amen to that. So we need to know where to hide. The third habit of a healthy heart is...
And I love this one. Know how to hope.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. People in Puerto Rico are without hope. Sometimes I told my mother-in-law, please turn that TV off because she's suffering through the... She goes, Puerto Rico never is going to be the same. Puerto Rico is never going to get up. And gets into this depression. And people in Puerto Rico themselves are putting themselves into that depression. We will never be back again. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that happened on this earth that is not allowed by God. So we need to have the hope of God that whatever reason we all going through this, why United States going through this, let me tell you something. Many times chaos happened when the body of Christ is not looking up. And God shaked the earth so they can look up again. So if that's what God is calling from us, I want this to stop. So I'm going to start looking up. And I put all my hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's time to stop wandering around, losing our hope. We need to feel our hope. That it is so powerful to have hope. How many say amen to that? So when I come for prayer because I'm sick, the hope that I know that through prayer God can heal me, He gives me the strength to move forward. Pastor Jose was with pain on Wednesday, and we prayed for him. And when I say the next day, I saw him Friday. I said, how you doing? I'm doing great, like nothing. I rejoice. That builds my hope. You got to heal him. He's going to heal me again. So we need to build our hope in the Lord. The Bible says in 1:16, sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hope be that
dash.
Do not. Let's keep our hope alive, guys.
See, knowing how to hope is often the difference maker of keeping a commitment.
Yes.
The commitment to God. Knowing that even though conflicts are happening, even though things are happening, the God's commitment is something that is really huge in our lives.
Yes.
So we need to know that if we hope, no matter what happens, our hope is in Him.
Amen.
And no matter what outcome it is, our hope is still in Him.
Yes.
Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. But we need to anchor, you know what an anchor is,
yeah,
right? We need to anchor our hope in God's promises.
Amen.
And who He is.
Yes.
We need to just put it out there and say, no matter what, and even if, I'm still going to hope in the King of Kings.
Are you getting this, guys?
And in the Lord of Lords.
Are you really getting it? Because I'm telling you, I don't
Hallelujah.
Know what is about to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen the day after. We need to get this in place.
That's right. So there are three things for a healthy heart.
Come on.
And let me tell you something, too. Real hope is active. It's
yes.
not passive.
Come on.
You don't have hope because good things happen.
No.
You have hope even when the bad things are happening.
Hope
it's
is a
something
verb.
That
yes.
is active. It's not in the feelings, it's in the faith. Okay? So we need to understand that because hope is what covers us.
Amen.
So we need to maintain a healthy heart.
It's something that we do. It's not something that we have.
That's right.
We have to have hope.
See, something that we do, I like that. It's something we do. It's not that we just have it. It's not just there.
Yeah.
We have to hope. So it's something that we do. So to maintain a healthy heart, three things we need to. And we want you to go home and think about these things.
Amen.
Know what to hate. Anything that hurts you.
Knows where to hide in His word.
And know how to hope in His promises.
And I want you guys to just today just
receive.
Ask the Lord, the healer of your heart.
That's right.
The healer of your life. Say, Lord, no more. I need you. I want to surrender to you. I want to be able to recognize what I need to hate and take it out of my life. To get the strength to be able to hate from the bottom of my heart and remove it. To learn to love the things that will build me and to make me a better man of God. And let me love from everything, every strength of my body. Love it so much, oh God, that I will never stop loving what makes me better.
That's right.
Find the place to hide, Lord Jesus, where you and I can find ourselves face to face. Where nothing is wrong in that moment. Where nothing is imperfect. Everything is perfect when we're in your presence. No matter how hurt or wounded we are, when we get into your presence, everything is well. Everything is good. Because you are a good God. And let me put my anchor of hope in your promises. There's one for every day of our life, Father, that every morning as I wake up, I say, Father, let the hope of the
Hallelujah.
Lord carry me through the day, through another day, to another difficulty, through another pain, through another hurt, through another joy, to another happiness. Carry me. I want to change for you. I want to be transformed by you and for you. Lay it down. Lay it down. It's the only way we're going to move forward, laying it down in the altar. Last night as I was praying, oh, I was praying for the morning to come and say, oh, Father, this is a long night. But I was praying, Father, the wisdom will come from heaven and decisions will be taken according to your will. And all my hope is in you that the right ones will be taken and the wrong decisions will be removed. In Jesus' name I pray today that that will be your prayer. As we stand and we come into the presence of the Lord, today the altar becomes the hill. The hill that my help comes from. From the hill of the Lord Jesus Christ.